I'm Alan Combs. Welcome to the program. Nice to have you with us. And I want to welcome to our microphones Gerald Ost. Am I pronouncing that correctly, sir?
Like Austin, Texas.
All right, very good. My fault, my bad.
No problem.
You're senior writer for the Good News Magazine, a longtime minister of the United Church of God. First of all, what is United Church of God?
The United Church of God is a non-denominational Christian church that believes in God and Christ and the Bible.
And where is it located?
The home office is in Cincinnati, Ohio.
And is that where you are?
No, I'm in the South.
All right. Now, this past Friday, the Associated Press did a story that, of course, while most Christians are embracing the Christmas holiday, there are those like yourself that reject the celebration of Christmas on religious grounds. Can you explain to us your thoughts on this and why you take this path?
Well, I take this path because I believe that Jesus Christ took this path, and I want to follow Jesus Christ as closely as I can. And since he didn't institute it, and since he didn't sanction it, since he didn't teach it, and since his apostles didn't do it, the New Testament church didn't do it,
right,
which has been verified by the Catholic Encyclopedia on Festivals, then I'm not going to do it.
And you say you want to educate people about this.
That is precisely. I'd like to share what truth we can, and that's one of the main reasons why I've been writing on this particular subject about Christmas, not to condemn people, but simply to share the educational values that Christ gives us.
Right. But you feel most of the country has it wrong, basically, in terms of how they celebrate or go about celebrating Christmas.
Based on the Bible, I think that would be correct.
What specifically do people have wrong? What are people getting wrong about this?
Well, you have to go to both secular history about the origins of Christmas and also the Bible instruction on what we should or shouldn't keep. If you go to secular history, you will find that Christmas has its origins way back. There was a book written, I think I had in one of my articles, called 4,000 Years of Christmas. And so this goes way back to what was called the Midwinter Festival.
Right.
Then there was the Persian Mithraic religion that, held its own with Christianity once it got going for some time, and then it finally played out, and it was really a touch-and-go situation there. But what has happened is that ancient festival, which came from not only Persia but through Rome called Saturnalia and then Brumalia, that it just changed clothes. It added the name of Christ, and then it became Christmas.
Now, how do we get to the point we're in today where it's become so commercialized and people consider it a great holiday, a big holiday? I mean, it's the birth of Christ. Isn't it the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ?
It does not signify the birth of Jesus Christ. People do say that, and I think you gave a very telling point here at the very beginning of that comment, because you talked about commercializing of Christmas. I think in the recent decades, say the last 50 years, it's just shot through the roof because it's a very commercial outlay of a great deal of money. There was a professor, let's see, I think even Purdue University, who does research and extrapolates what people are going to spend during the holiday season. He extrapolated that in 2006, a year ago, that people would spend at least $450 billion, B as in billion dollars, on Christmas alone. So I think that the economy of such things has a great deal promoting this and and keeping it going.
But you believe that basically most Christians have it all wrong in terms of celebrating Christmas. I mean, you're, I guess, at odds with most of the Christian world, aren't you?
I think I would be, yes.
So what do you do next? How big is your you have a congregation?
I am not a pastor. I pastored for 25 years, but I work for the media and communications department out of our home office.
All right, now, when you were a pastor, did you not conduct or participate in Christmas services?
Correct. I did not, yes.
And were there others in your congregation who felt as you did? All of them?
Every one of them.
But there are other members of your church, the Church of God, that is that don't agree with you, right?
No, that wouldn't be correct.
The United Church of God. I mean, so they're all on the same page as you are.
That's exactly. We are all on the same
page. And so none of them, these are all Christians who don't celebrate Christmas.
That's exactly right, sir.
Are you ever going to achieve critical mass here? I mean, it seems like you're you're going against the tide here in terms of not just religiously, but culturally, socially, what we do in this country about celebrating Christmas. It seems like you're never going to be mainstream on this.
Oh, I would agree with you on that, yes. We will not be. And I'm not worried about the culture and the social aspects of it. I am concerned about the what people would call religious and I would call the spiritual or Christian factor and part of it. Yes,
right.
Because I'm concerned about Jesus Christ more than I am concerned about human beings, although I love human beings.
I'm sure you do. How are you going to change people's minds and hearts about this? And, you know, I mean,
I don't intend to change their minds. I do kind of like Fox News does. I think that's what we do with the truth. And that is, we present the Bible facts and they decide. They have
we present the Bible, you decide.
I picked that up from you and Mr. Sean Hannity. And
I think it was Mr. Roger Ailes who came up with that one, but
like
go ahead.
I said, I'll give him all the credit for that because I know about Mr. Ailes, a very fine gentleman, and I've read some of his books. But I can say that our responsibility, my responsibility personally, is to write articles on current issues and base them on the scripture.
Yeah.
And I'm not out to condemn or hurt anybody.
But are you saying that Jesus would not have wanted his birthday honored in the way that Christians do it?
That's correct. He does want his death to be honored, which has been known as the Passover, and the Christian community then calls it communion. But he's only talked about honoring his death, not his life.
What about Easter?
Well, Easter would be real close, but it's not quite on. It talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but, you know, it shows him as resurrected on a Sunday, and he was resurrected on a Sabbath afternoon.
So the holiest day of the Christian calendar should be the death or Passover, the death of, or what happened right after the Last Supper, the death of Jesus Christ.
I would agree with you on that because it's the most solemn occasion. It points to the fact that he died for our sins, as you know, and also his resurrection points to the fact that he lives for us.
Well, I would like to open up our phone. I'd like to invite our audience to participate, to call up and get some reaction here because I really don't. I'm curious to know what they're going to say to you. Our number is 877-4-ALLEN, 877-367-2526. Gerald Ost is with us. He is a senior writer for the Good News Magazine, longtime minister with the United Church of God, and now part of the communications department. You know, there are people, as you mentioned, the Fox News Channel, who are putting this thing together about how they always, every year there's a war on Christmas. If a non-Christian, like myself, I happen to be Jewish, or somebody who was not someone who considered Christ a deity, were to say the things you're saying, we'd be called leading the war on Christmas.
I don't feel like I'm leading the war on Christmas.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying if a non-Christian said what you're saying,
yes,
I'd be accused of, for example, conducting a war on Christmas.
Yes.
But that's not what you're doing.
Oh, no. I'm here to share and to help and to give what we have to give.
But when people get caught up in, oh, my God, you know, this department will let their employees say Merry Christmas, and therefore there's this war on Christmas in America, and Christians are. So you're saying they've got it all. These people have it all wrong, talking about a war on Christmas.
Well,
because Christmas isn't what it's purported to be in the first place.
I'm not involved in a war on Christmas. I'm involved in saying what Jesus Christ has to offer, because I do think that anything, any holiday that interrupts the truth that should be passed between God the Father and Christ and human beings separates us from them. And, you know, take the example of a parent. If your son or your daughter had something that they brought up, they got up on the Internet or on television, and it separated them from you, would you be happy about that?
Yeah, of course not.
Of course not. Well, God the Father, who is a father, and Christ Jesus, his son, prefers for us not to be separated from them.
Yeah.
And holidays such as Christmas, and people don't know about these things, perhaps.
Right.
Or, that separates them from what I understand to be the truth of God.
Whose idea was it to take Jesus' birth and celebrate it as we are now?
Well, how far back do you want to go?
Well, is this a pagan celebration that actually precedes the birth of Jesus?
Yes, sir, it does. It precedes the birth of Jesus by hundreds and perhaps a few thousand years. And so I one time wrote many years ago a little article about how Christianity simply changed clothes when we picked up on traditions from the ancient world that God didn't want us to have. And then we apply the name of Christmas, for example, to this holiday.
Right.
Now, could I just mention something too about Christmas?
Sure.
The very name Christmas is, as you probably know, the Mass of Christ.
Yes.
I would like our audience and for you to consider this possibility and this potential. If indeed it is the Mass for Christ, which is to take the Eucharist for Christ, that celebrates his death. How then can Christmas, which is supposed to celebrate his birth, at the same time celebrate his death? We're not talking about that, are we?
Right.
We're just talking about the birth. And yet the name itself semantically allows us, or rather shows us, that the Eucharist was taken during that time. What had actually happened? Maybe I'm taking too much time.
I think what you're saying has to be put in context. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying here is that when the church in the first couple of centuries very sincere people started filling their pews and their churches and this type of thing, there were a lot of individuals who were holding on to the midwinter festival, and they weren't about to give that up. And they were being Christianized, that's my word.
Right.
And so what the church did, since they could not take and remove that thought from them and what they considered to be pagan, what they knew to be pagan, then they added the term Christmas to it, and they offered the Eucharist, which is to take of communion, so that it would somehow Christianize them and put the stamp of Christianity on them. That is the big change, the big move, and it had developed over the years. Actually, it wasn't until the middle of the 4th century A.D. that Christmas was declared a holiday by the church, and not until about the 8th century that Christmas, the term Christmas, was actually used.
Right. I'll tell you, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, Mr. Austin, I want to take some calls from our listeners who have plenty to say about it, as you might imagine.
Oh, I imagine it's very common.
Have you gotten a lot of negativity directed your way, nasty emails, nasty letters, because of your stance on this issue?
You mean recently or over the years?
Both.
Oh, my. I've had a lot of people face me directly and were very upset and very concerned. They took it as a personal attack that I was making on them. So what happens in my mind is that the issue itself, it becomes controversial, and they take that as if I personally am challenging them. I am not. I am just delivering what Christ says and what he teaches us, and then they have the opportunity to look at it. They don't like it. They keep on keeping Christmas. I'm not offended if they keep keeping Christmas.
All right. We'll come right with Gerald Austin at 877. We'll get to the calls, 877-367-2526. I was just looking at the website of Gerald Aust, our guest, jwaust.com, jwaust.com, which you talk about having a website as a resource for personal Christian development. It's very well put together, and yet you anger many Christians because of your view that Christmas should not be celebrated as we do it in this country. It's quite a talk about being politically incorrect. Mr. Aust is a longtime minister with the United Church of God. He is an adjunct professor of communications on the university level and of Christian communication at the Ambassador Bible Center in Cincinnati. And we want to get some reactions from our listeners to what we've been saying here. Let's go to Shirley in Madisonville, Texas. Hello, Shirley.
Yes. Yeah, you know, I went to Catholic school, and I'm when I remember studying about Christmas, it was St. Thomas is the one that decided to have Christmas. It was really called Christ-like because the Romans had it was a pagan holiday, and he wanted to kind of make it a sore spot for them, so that's when he came up with the holiday of Christ-like, a day for, to celebrate the day of Christ.
What do you say to that, Mr. Ross?
Well, no argument.
So you're on board with this, right?
Well, I thought, she's not really asking, Shirley isn't asking a question of me in that. She's making a point, and I have no argument. I don't know about St. Thomas. Is that Thomas Aquinas? Whom?
Yes.
Well, he's a brilliant...
It's like in 600 A.D., and he decided it was a pagan holiday, and he wanted to kind of make it a sore spot, kind of put it to him. So he decided to start, his church and have a Christ-like day. And this was why Christmas was formed,
oh,
was
I
to
see.
Make it a day to celebrate Christ instead of a pagan holiday.
Is that your understanding of the history, Mr. Ross?
Not about that in particular, although I'm sure there are things that I haven't been able to research entirely. I've been reaching this for many years, but I'm sure there are things I don't know about it.
All right, ma'am, I thank you. Let's go to Dave in, Dave in South Bend, Indiana. Hello, Dave.
Good evening. You know, Luke 18:22 says you got to sell all your possessions and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Basically, the followers of Jesus should not go out and purchase items for their family. That's materialism, and I think I agree with the pastor that it would be unlike to celebrate Christmas the way we do here in America.
Well, may I answer?
Sure. Go ahead, sir.
I would agree with Dave in that actually gifts were brought to the little Jesus in the manger by wise men, and that was because he was to be a king, and he is going to be the King of Kings, and he's going to return to this earth. So we've turned it into a selfish thing. You know, if you go back in the history, way back, you will find that under the heading Saturnalia in Rome, that they had these festivals. It all has to do with this is all pre-Christian. This is all pre-Christmas, but it leads into Christmas. And they actually demanded gifts from the rich. They would put forth a slave, and they would make him the lord of misrule. They would invert order, so to speak, and then they would go through the different communities and different neighborhoods, and they would demand all you married gentlemen to give of your gifts. God help you if you don't do it, because they were a mob, and they would get after them. Gift-giving, actually, in my understanding, has emanated from that originally. It's been changed in the minds of other people, and it's been cleaned up, but it did start that way, at least from my understanding of the Saturnalia.
Thank you very much. So what do you do on Christmas, Mr. Ross?
I love my family. We talk, we visit, we might watch some football, just take a little bit of time off.
So, you know, what about the idea that Christmas is a national holiday in
yes.
a country that does not have an establishment of religion?
That's a question I'd rather not get into. I'm not going to cross over in the political realm. I'd let you handle that.
All right, that's a really good answer, but, I mean, if we were to do things your way, it wouldn't be an issue.
There would be no Christmas, yes.
And you would like there to be no Christmas?
Well, it's not just that Gerald Ost wouldn't like it. It's that God and Christ wouldn't care for it.
God and Christ would not care for there to be a Christmas.
Well, for example, you find in the New Testament, and I'll just quickly quote a few scriptures, and this has nothing to do with the secular sources that decry and, in a sense, disparage the idea of Christmas and say that it doesn't exist and that we are following pagan ideas and concepts. But if you go to Jeremiah 10, for example, in what we call the Old Testament, it makes reference to a Christmas tree, and God says, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. He certainly understood about the way of the Gentiles, and when he made Israel as his model nation, then they were to exemplify, to exhibit his truths, his commandments, and anything apart from that that came from the Gentiles, he said, don't learn their way. Don't be ensnared by their traditions. Deuteronomy 12. In Mark 7, the New Testament, Jesus said, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is from me.
I'll tell you what, I'm up against the break here, but I don't want to cut you off. I want to take a few more calls on this with Gerald Ost, with the United Church of God. For four decades, he's been a minister as well. We'll get back to the phones, 877-367-2526. And the lines are open, 877-4-ALLEN, 367-2526. We're talking with Minister Gerald Ost. He is a senior writer for the Good News Magazine, longtime minister with the United Church of God. Has been a minister for four decades, also an adjunct professor of communications on the university level. And we are talking about his view. How many Americans would you say, sir, are in your share your view that God and Jesus would not want Christmas?
Well, anywhere from 10 to 20,000.
So 10 to 20,000 in this country. You know,
I'd say a minimum.
We don't hear a lot about that view this time of year.
I know it. And Of course, we're not trying to do it just immediately before Christmas. We just
right.
want people to be aware of it. Could I mention something
sure.
here, if you don't mind?
Yes.
I've been remiss in this. For anyone who has any desire to know any more, we give all of our material away free. No follow-up. It's absolutely free.
Okay.
And so I want to give out these this email address.
Sure.
UCG.org.
Okay.
Or the magazine for which I write is gnmagazine.org.
All right, got you. All right,
the ones that they should really go to, not to my little tiny site that is...
All right, I just thought your site was well done and...
Oh, you're very kind. A friend of mine did that, and it was all like a non-profit. I've not, I don't advertise or anything on it.
All right, let's go to John in Sussex, New Jersey. Hello, John.
Oh, thank you, Alan. I love the show, and I appreciate the astute background of your guest there. I acknowledge that there may be some pagan, there are definitely pagan roots to the connections to Christmas. I also acknowledge that the commercial aspects are a little disturbing. I'm also not naive that that it may not have been snowing in the original birth of Christ, and Mary might have not been divinely conceived, had the divine conception, but to pick, even if it may be arbitrary, but to pick a day to celebrate the day when God became man, or God insert himself or into our, as it came into life as a human, I think is a good thing. There's the most important character in the Christian religion. What's wrong with taking a day and celebrating it? Although there may be some things that
all
are
right,
wrong.
Let's get a response then.
Yeah.
Mr. Ross?
Yes. There's nothing wrong with recognizing that Jesus Christ was born of Mary and of God. And the Old Testament speaks in prophetic terms about the fact that unto us a son is born and so on, son is given. And it talks about the one through Isaiah, for example, in chapter 9, about the birth of Jesus Christ. We recognize that. We love that. We appreciate that. We are pro-life. We're for life. We're not for death. But the difference is, what does Christ give us to honor and follow him? And why does he give us what he gives us? He gives us festivals to flow, and those all have meaning. So it is such a vast departure. There is such a great gulf between the holidays of the world and a day that they picked to honor the birth of Christ, as he put it, John did, and I appreciate that. There is such a vast difference between what the world, how the world looks at it, and what Christ expects of us. It's a chasm that's almost unbridgeable until Christ himself makes that bridge.
Thank you very much for your call, sir. Gary in Adrian, Michigan. Hello, Gary.
Hey, how you doing today, Alan?
Good, sir.
Yeah, I'm a Catholic myself. I think it's kind of taken on several entities here, by my opinion, I guess would be the best way to put it. You know, it gives us a day to... to reflect religiously on what our beliefs are, and to spend that time that we spend with prayer and with fellowship and stuff to take the religious side, and then it also gives us a chance to have the holiday, and I look at that as more of a cultural side to it, to express ourselves and have a festival type atmosphere. I believe most Christians would probably tell you that it's over-commercialized and that they agree that it probably isn't the way Christ would see it. So I think it's taken on two entities here, is that we enjoy the festival side of it, the fellowship and getting together and the gift-giving may not be specifically in relation to what Christ would want to celebrate his birthday. But then we also take the time during that time to get closer to God, to make sure we do get to church, to spend that prayer time that maybe you don't find time because you're so busy with your life at other times of the year. So, you know, look at it as two separate sides maybe being celebrated at the same time. Don't necessarily have to be the same entity.
All right. Any comment on that, sir?
I would just say I respect his sincerity and his belief. I just I feel that Christ takes the top shelf on this as far as I'm concerned, and not man.
Yeah. All right. Jeannie in Santa Rosa, California. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I am a Christian, and I agree with Mr. Oss that there's no biblical basis for Christmas or Easter. I see no mention of it whatsoever in the Bible, and I think it's really important to obey God's commandments rather than what the society says around us. That's way more important to me. I care about what God and Jesus think, not what society thinks. And furthermore, Deuteronomy and Proverbs both say to do not add or take away from what God has commanded us to do. And that's in Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, and Deuteronomy 12, verse 32. And
I have to write all this down. You're going so fast with all these numbers.
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to have to go home and do all this reading now.
And Proverbs 30, verse 6 says, do not add to his words or he will rebuke you and prove you a liar. So I think it's important to look at what God says, not what the supermarket.
I'm very confused. Do you agree with the minister?
I totally agree with the minister.
You
absolutely.
Do. All right. Thank you very much. Well, I guess you're not as alone as some people might have thought, Mr.
There's
Ross.
There's one out there.
Are you surprised by that reaction? I was expecting a bunch of angry Christians pulling up, but I guess
I've had a lot stronger reaction to my personal belief and what I teach in this. We as a church all feel the same thing, and I think it's really important for anyone who is interested to, you know, just to go on the internet to ucg.org, and we have a very good booklet on the holidays and holy days of God.
All
it's
right,
not just a negative, it's a positive sign.
All right, sir, I appreciate your time tonight. Thank you so much for coming on and explaining your views to us.
Thank you, Mr. Combs.
Thank you very much. My name is Lundberg. Thank you, sir. Thanks very much. We'll come right back. The phones are open, 877-4-ALLEN. I just don't like being called Mr. Combs. It's so sounds so weird to me. We'll come right, except Hannity. He, you know, that I prefer when he does that.